spirit? Her stomach was in knots, and the back of her throat felt swollen. She was going to vomit. As she stood, there was a commotion up front, and Persephone looked in time to see Hades striding toward her. He appeared angry, purposeful, and he only had eyes for her. "You need to leave," she said immediately. He was causing a scene. Everyone on the workroom floor had stopped what they were doing to watch them.
"We need to talk," he said.
His scent hit her hard, his presence harder. He was an executive of death, well-dressed, handsome, and brooding. "No."
"So you believe it, then? The article?"
"I thought you had a meeting," she said.
"I did," he said.
"And you conveniently left out the fact that it was with Laoce?"
"It wasn't with Laoce, Persephone."
"I don't want to hear this right now. You need to leave," she said, and stepped out from behind her desk. She started toward the elevator. She would escort him.
"When are we going to talk about this?" he asked.
"What is there to talk about? I have asked you to be honest with me about when you are with Laoce. You weren't." She pressed the button to summon the elevator.
"I came to you immediately after I saw Laoce home," he said. "But I didn't feel good about waking you. When I saw you yesterday, you looked exhausted."
She twisted toward him, her eyes glistening. "I am exhausted, Hades. I am tired of you and sick of your excuses." She pointed to the elevator doors as they opened. "Leave." Hades glared at her, and without warning, snatched her about the waist and shoved her in the elevator. His magic flared, and she knew he was keeping anyone from entering or using the lift. "Let me go, Hades!" She wiggled against him, and he pressed her harder into the wall. "You're embarrassing me! Why did you have to do this now?"
"Because I knew you'd jump to conclusions."
She glared up at him, but his expression was just as fierce.
"I'm not fucking Laoce."
"There are other ways to cheat, Hades." She pushed against his chest, but the god didn't move. He was solid rock, an immovable, frustrating mountain.
"I'm not doing any of them."
She stared at his chest and tried not to cry.
"Persephone."
Hades said her name, and she closed her eyes against the desperation in his voice.
"Persephone, please.
Let me go, Hades." He was quiet for a long moment.
"If you won't listen now, will you let me explain later?"
"I don't know," she whispered.
"Please, Persephone, give me the chance to explain."
"I'll let you know," she whispered, her voice thick with emotion.
"Persephone."
He reached to brush her cheek, and she retreated from his touch, still not looking at him, which meant she didn't see the expression on his face before he vanished. When he was gone, the elevator doors opened, and Persephone found the whole newsroom gathered in front of the doors. "What the fuck are you all staring at?" she snapped.
"Persephone."
Dimitri was at the front of the group and jerked his thumb toward his office.
"A moment?"
Grudgingly, she obeyed his direction and followed him. Once the door was closed, her boss took a seat beside her instead of behind his desk.
"You don't have to tell me what's really going on," he said. "But you cannot act this way at work."
"What way?"
"The elevator, the profanity," he said.
"The elevator wasn't my fault." She didn't even want to imagine what people thought about the elevator. It was the dining room all over again. Dimitri held up his hand.
"Look, I saw the divine this morning. I know you're going through some stuff. Why don't you take the rest of the day off?"
"No, I'm fine. I need the distraction," she said.
"No, Persephone. You need to deal with your problems. Seriously, leave."
Persephone obeyed, feeling dazed as she left Dimitri's office, gathered her things, and headed to the first floor. She halted, seeing the crowd waiting outside. She couldn't face them or rehash what was in the paper today, so she entered the elevator again and chose to go to the basement. She found Pirithous in the maintenance office. He sat at his desk, distracted by something in front of him. "Hey," Persephone said. Pirithous did a double take. Clearly, he hadn't expected to see her in the doorway of his office. He rushed to cover what he was working on, and Persephone rose on her tiptoes, curious. "What are you up to?" she asked.
"Oh, nothing," he said and stood awkwardly. "Can I help you?"
He seemed nervous, rubbing his hands on his uniform, so she smiled. "I need help," she said. "Can you get me out of here?"
"Sure," he said. "You want the getaway vehicle again?"
"It's not my preferred method of escape, but if it's the only choice..." He smiled, more at ease now. She wondered what had him on edge.
"I might have something better."
Pirithous grabbed his keys, shut off the light, and locked up before leading her to an unmarked door at the end of a hallway. It was the entrance to an underground tunnel. She glared at him.
"You made me get into a trash can when you knew this existed?"
Pirithous laughed.
"I didn't have a key then."
"Oh," she said. "Well, in that case,
come on."
He gestured for her to enter, and Pirithous closed the door behind them. The tunnel was cement, cold, and lit by track lighting that made everything look pale green. "Where does this lead?"
"Olive and Owl Gastropub in Monastiraki Square."
Pedestrian tunnels were common in New Athens, but Persephone had never been in one. "Is there a reason it isn't open to the public?"
"Probably because the executives of the Acropolis don't want to share."
"Huh, that made sense."
"You're leaving work early today," Pirithous observed.
"I just need a mental health day," Persephone said. She didn't want to explain what was in the paper or that Hades had come to her work and caused a scene. Luckily, Pirithous didn't press. He just nodded and said,
"I understand that."
They walked in silence for a little while. And then Persephone asked, "What were you working on earlier?"
"A list," he answered. "Just some supplies I need."
She thought about asking him what kind of supplies, but he didn't seem interested in talking about it. In truth, he seemed just as distracted as she felt. Finally, they came to the end of the tunnel, and Pirithous unlocked the door. "Thank you, Pirithous. I owe you." He shook his head.
"Haven't you learned anything about owing people?"
Those words hit her hard, and his question gave her pause, but the mortal was quick to change the subject.
"Be careful, Seth."
He closed the door, and she heard the lock click into place on the other side. Persephone made her way through the Olive and Owl Gastropub, exiting into Monastiraki Square, a stone-covered courtyard with several pubs, coffee houses, and a large church. The clouds had thickened in her time underground, and a light mist hung in the air, coating everything in a slick layer of rain. She shoved her hands in the pockets of her dress and headed to her apartment. It was on the way home when Persephone received a text message from Aliska that Lexa was awake. She changed directions and headed for the hospital instead. She wasn't sure what she expected when she had imagined her reunion with Lexa, but when she laid eyes on her best friend, she knew she had let her hopes get too high. Lexa looked exhausted. She was pale, and there were dark circles under her eyes. Her lips were chapped and her dark hair was knotted. Parts of it stuck to her face. Then there were her eyes. Unlike her body, they had not regained life. And when she met Persephone's gaze, there was no spark of recognition. Still, she managed to smile, despite feeling something dark gather in the back of her mind. Something is wrong.
"Hey, Lex," Persephone said quietly, approaching the bed.
Lex's brows drew together, and when she spoke, her voice was low and rasped.
"Why am I here?"
Persephone hesitated and glanced at Aliska for clarity.
"She's been saying that since she woke up," she explained. "The doctor says it's part of the psychosis."
"Why am I here?" Lexa repeated.
Aliska went to her and sat on the edge of her bed, taking her hand.
You were in an accident, baby, she answered. You were hurt really bad. Lexa looked at her mom, but it was like she didn't recognize her either.
No, why am I here?
Lexa's questioning was more aggressive, and her eyes became unfocused.
I'm not supposed to be here.
Persephone could feel the color drain from her face. She knew what Lexa was saying. She wasn't asking why she was in the hospital. She was asking why she was in the upper world. Eliska looked at Persephone and saw the desperation in her eyes. It was one thing to have Lexa back, another to handle the aftermath and impact of her trauma.
I'll get the nurse, Eliska said. That will give you some time alone with her.
I'm not supposed to be here,
Lexa repeated as her mother left the room. Persephone sat on the end of her bed.
Lexa,
the goddess called her name. It took her a moment, but she finally lifted her head and met Persephone's gaze.
You don't remember?
Lexa's eyes glistened with tears.
I was happy, she said.
Yes, you were happy, she said, hope ballooning in her chest. Maybe she was remembering. The happiest person I knew, and you were in love.
That gave Lexa pause, and her brows knitted together.
No,
she shook her head.
I was happy in the underworld.
Persephone was stunned. That was the last thing she expected her to say.
Why am I here? Lexa asked again and again. Why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I here?
Her voice grew louder, and she started to rock, shaking the bed. Lexa, calm down.
Why am I here?
She screamed. Persephone stood. Lexa! The door to her room burst open, and Eliska and two nurses hurried to subdue her. Lexa was screaming now. It was a sound she'd never heard her best friend make. She backed away from the scene until she reached the door, then fled. Lexa's cries followed Persephone until she entered the elevator. She waited until the doors were closed to burst into tears.
Are you happy with the results?
Persephone whirled to face Apollo. He was dressed in a gray suit and white button-up shirt, his dark hair a perfect mess of curls. He looked beautiful and cold all at the same time. You! Persephone advanced on him. Apollo lifted a sharp brow and didn't move. She hated that he seemed so unafraid of her. You said you'd heal her.
I did heal her, obviously. She's awake.
I don't know who that person is, but it isn't Lexa. Apollo shrugged, and his dismissal angered Persephone so much, vines began to sprout from her skin. She didn't even feel the pain. Apollo looked disgusted.
Get a hold on your anger. You're making a mess.
The deal is off, Apollo.
I'm afraid it's not,
he said, suddenly seeming far taller and imposing than before, as he straightened and uncrossed his arms.
You asked me to heal her, and I did. What you failed to realize is that it wasn't just her body that was broken. Her soul was, too, and that, I'm afraid, is your lover's wheelhouse, not mine.
It was like she was being told Lexa was going to die all over again. She didn't know a lot about souls, didn't know what it meant to have a broken soul. But she could guess. It meant that she would never have the Lexa she knew before the accident. It meant that nothing would be the same ever again. It meant that she'd made a deal with Apollo for nothing. She knew this is what Hades had meant.
Your actions have condemned Lexa to a fate worse than death.
It took a moment for Persephone to focus. You really are the worst. She turned on her heels and left the elevator as its doors opened. Apollo followed close behind.
Just because you failed to recognize the flaws in your bargain doesn't make me a bad person.
No, everything else you do makes you a bad person.
You don't even know me,
he argued. Your actions speak loud and clear, Apollo. I saw all I needed at the lyre.
There are two sides to every story, love nugget.
Then by all means, tell me your side, she snapped.
I don't need to explain myself to you.
Then why do you keep talking?
Fine, I won't.
Good.
There was silence as they crossed the main floor of the hospital and exited the building. Then Apollo spoke again.
You're trying to distract me from my purpose.
I thought you weren't talking, she complained, and then asked, what purpose?
I came to summon you, he said, for a date.
First, you don't summon someone for dates, she said. Second, you and I aren't dating. You asked for a companion. That's it.
Friends go on dates all the time,
he argued. We're not friends.
We are for 6 months. That's what you agreed to, honey lips.
Persephone glared. Stop calling me names.
I'm not calling you names.
Love Nugget, Honey Lips, he grinned.
Pet names. I'm trying to find the right one.
I don't want a pet name. I want to be called by my name.
Hermes had given her a nickname, and she'd come to think of it as endearing.
Too bad. Part of the bargain, baby.
No, it wasn't, she said.
You missed it. It was in the fine print.
Persephone knew her eyes were glowing bright green.
It's not an option, Apollo. She cut him off. You will call me Persephone and nothing else. If I want to be addressed in another way, I'll tell you.
Apollo had a lot to learn about respecting people's wishes. She noted how his jaw ticked, and she wondered what he would do next.
Fine, he said between his teeth. But you will join me tonight, the Seven Muses. Be there at 10.
Tonight really isn't a great night, Apollo. She needed to go to the underworld and hear Hades' explanation for why he was with Laoce. Plus, she needed to finalize preparations for the summer solstice celebration tomorrow night.
I didn't ask you if the timing worked for you, the god replied. I'm telling you to get ready. We have an event.
Chapter 22. The Seven Muses. Persephone was in her closet, searching for something to wear. She groaned.
What am I supposed to wear to the Seven Muses?
Let me help, Hermes said.
Taking Persephone's place in the closet, he assessed her wardrobe.
You know Apollo will be pissed when I show up with you, Hermes said.
Persephone had summoned him as soon as she got home. When she called his name, he appeared immediately and asked,
Who do I need to kill, Seffy?
Your brother, she'd responded. Oh, can I get a rain check?
She'd given him another option, accompanying her tonight.
He never said I had to be alone.
Apollo was quick to point out where Persephone had failed when agreeing to their bargain, so she would do the same. She had no interest in being alone with the god of music. Hermes poked his head out of Persephone's closet.
Does Hades know you're going out?
Why does everyone ask that? Persephone complained. He doesn't have to know every move I make.
Hermes raised his brows.
Triggered much? I'm only asking in case there's a possibility you run into him tonight.
What does that have to do with what I wear?
It has everything to do with what you wear, Hermes said, disappearing into her closet again.
After a moment, he reappeared.
I think you should wear this.
He held a dress that looked like a patchwork of strategically placed gold leaf appliques held together with air.
Where did you get that? She asked, because she knew she didn't own anything like it.
Hermes grinned.
Wouldn't you like to know?
She narrowed her gaze.
Did you steal it?
He probably teleported while he was in the closet.
Just put it on,
he said, laying it on the bed.
I can't wear that, Hermes.
Why not?
Because it will look like I'm wearing nothing.
No, it won't. It will look like you're wearing strategically placed gold leaves.
She glared at him.
Did you miss the part where I have to go out with Apollo?
Did you miss the part when I asked about Hades?
You're just going to piss him off.
You want Hades pissed off. Don't lie to me, Seffy. You're looking forward to hot makeup sex when you two reconcile.
Hermes shoved the dress into Persephone's hands.
Now go.
She headed for the bathroom. There was a part of her that wanted to make Hades jealous, especially after the whole Laoki situation. She slipped into the dress. She was a little surprised by how perfect it fit, and stepped out of the bathroom to show Hermes, who whistled. "That's the dress. Let me get this straight. You want me to wear this in the event that I run into Hades tonight?" Hermes shrugged.
"There's always the possibility. But if you don't see him, you know there'll be pictures."
"I can't wear this," Persephone said. She started toward the bathroom again to change. But when she turned, Hermes was blocking the door.
"Look, you need to show Hades what he's missing."
"What if Apollo thinks I'm dressing up for him?" Hermes snorted, and Persephone glared.
Okay. Look, Apollo's a lot of things, but he knows you belong to Hades. He might flirt with you, but he won't try anything. Despite what you think, he knows when he's in danger of losing his balls."
"If that were the case, he wouldn't have struck a bargain with me at all."
"Sephi, I have known Apollo for a long time. He's a lot of things. Selfish and self-centered and rude. But he is also lonely."
"Well, maybe if he wasn't so selfish and self-centered and rude, he wouldn't be lonely."
"My point is, he wants a friend. And yeah, it's a little pathetic that he had to make bargains just to have friends. But in case you haven't noticed, Apollo doesn't know anything about genuine relationships. It's why he fucks up all his lovers."
"He doesn't even try to get better."
"Because he doesn't have to. He's a god."
"That isn't an excuse."
"And yet it is still an excuse."
"You aren't like him."
"No, but have you ever considered that I am in the minority? Most of the divine are just like Apollo. He was just unlucky to catch your wrath."
"You make it sound like I did something wrong."
"Feeling guilty?"
"No, of course not. Apollo needed to answer for his behavior."
"And how did that work out for you?"
"It hadn't."
"I'm not saying what you did was right or wrong. What I am saying is it isn't the way to get Apollo to listen to you."
"Then what do you suggest?" He shrugged.
"Just be his friend."
Persephone wanted to laugh. She didn't like Apollo. He had hurt people, her friend specifically. He had deceived her, healing Lexa while knowing her soul was still broken. How was she supposed to be friends with someone like that? As if Hermes guessed her thoughts, he added,
"People like Apollo are broken, Sephi."
"Apollo's not a person."
"And yet, he, like all of us, suffers human flaws."
Switching gears, Hermes clapped his hands together.
"Now, what shall I wear?"
Hermes decided on all-white attire, a silky shirt, jeans, and shiny shoes. Just as they were about to leave, Zophie burst into the room.
"Where do you think you're going?" she demanded.
"How did you know we were going anywhere?" Persephone asked. She'd told Zophie she was going to bed when she'd gotten home.
"I was listening at the door," the Amazon said.
"Okay, we're going to have to make a rule about that," Persephone said.
"And we're going to be late," Hermes took Persephone's hand. "So if you don't mind..."
Zophie drew her blade.
"Release her, or feel my wrath."
Hermes laughed.
"Where did you get her?"
Persephone sighed. "Zophie, put that away."
"Wherever you go, I must go too, Lady Persephone." She glared at Hermes. "To protect you."
Hermes was still laughing.
"She knows I'm a god, right?"
Persephone elbowed him. "Help Zophie find something to wear. She's coming with us." When they appeared outside the Seven Muses, people screamed their names. Persephone glared at Hermes as they were ushered inside by two centaurs. "You just had to let the world know we were here, didn't you?" He grinned.
"How else is Hades supposed to know about the dress?"
She elbowed the god again.
"Ouch! You're violent tonight, Sephi. I'm only trying to help."
They barely made it inside the club when their way was blocked by Apollo. The god glared at Hermes.
"What are you doing here?"
"I was invited," the god of trickery said.
Apollo's gaze moved to Zophie.
"An Amazon?"
Zophie glared at him, and Persephone had a feeling the Amazon hadn't forgiven him for abducting Persephone. She's my Aegis, Persephone said. Her name is Zophie. He frowned, and Persephone smirked as she said, You never said I couldn't bring a friend. He rolled his eyes and sighed.
Come, I have a booth.
Apollo twisted, and the three followed. Persephone noted that the god of music had chosen black leather pants and a mesh shirt as his club attire. Beneath the mesh, the contours of his muscles were visible. He was chiseled and athletic. She found herself comparing him to Hades again. Hades, whose body seemed to be built to destroy with broad shoulders and large muscles. Apollo's table was more like a lounge. White couches faced each other, and sheer white curtains provided a small amount of privacy. The god of music collapsed dramatically on one of the couches, his arms draping over the back, one leg resting on a cushion. Persephone, Hermes, and Zophie all sat beside each other. The goddess felt uncomfortable in her revealing dress and sat with her back straight, hands on her knees.
So, how long have you known each other?
Apollo raised a pale brow, looking between her and his brother. He sounded frustrated.
Oh, we've been friends forever, said Hermes.
Then he downed a shot of whatever was on the table.
Yum! You should try this.
He tried giving Zophie one of the drinks, but the Amazon's glare caused him to reconsider.
Never mind,
he said, and took another shot. He means 6 months, Persephone said. Hermes and I have known each other for 6 months.
Seven, the god of trickery corrected. I pulled her out of a river and got thrown across the underworld for my trouble.
He looked at Persephone.
That's when I knew Hades was in love with you, by the way.
Persephone looked away, and an awkward silence descended between them. Or maybe Persephone was just feeling out of place, because Hermes began to chuckle beside her.
Remember when you served mortals, Apollo?
He asked. Apollo did not look amused.
Well, who taught Pandora to be curious, Hermes?
The god of trickery glared.
Why does everyone always bring that up? One could argue you are responsible for all the world's evil.
A smile pulled at Apollo's lips. It was actually charming. Who put evil in a box, anyway? Persephone asked. That seems stupid. The brothers exchanged a look.
Our father?
Persephone rolled her eyes. Power wasn't a replacement for intelligence. After a couple shots, Hermes dragged Persephone and Zophie to the dance floor. The music had an electronic beat and vibrated through her. For a while, they all danced together. Even Zophie, who had been on edge, loosened up, letting herself get swept into the fold of bodies. Persephone continued to move. She shook and shimmied, matching Hermes' movements until his attention was taken by a handsome man who sidled up behind him. Persephone cheered him on, but found herself face to face with Apollo. He wasn't dancing, just standing in the center of the crowd, staring at her.
So, you were afraid to be alone with me?
Apollo asked. I am not afraid to be alone with you. I just didn't want to be alone with you.
Why?
Why? She asked, dumbfounded by the question. Do you not understand what you put me through the other night? You almost killed a kid.
He spoke slander.
This isn't the ancient world, Apollo. People are going to disagree with you, and you're going to have to deal with it. For fuck's sake, I don't even like your music. Persephone's eyes widened. Had she just said that out loud? Apollo pressed his lips together tightly, and after a moment, he said,
Want a shot?
Are you going to poison it? Again, he offered that crooked smile. They left the dance floor and headed for the bar, ordering a round. Apollo downed his shot, slamming his glass on the counter and looking at Persephone.
So, how did your lover take the news of our bargain?
Persephone stared at the empty glass. Not well. I guess I can't blame him. She'd promised Hades a lot and had let him down. I think he hates me, she said. So quietly she didn't think Apollo could hear.
Hades doesn't hate you,
Apollo almost scoffed.
He doesn't have it in him.
You didn't see the way he looked at me.
You mean all broken?
Apollo asked.
I think I get it, Persephone.
She blinked at him.
He's just hurt and frustrated. We all have things that are important to us, things we value above others. Hades values trust. He values the process of earning trust. He feels like he failed.
Persephone frowned. How do you know that?
The Olympians have had a long history. We know each other in ways that would make you cringe, inside and out.
Persephone shivered.
Hades doesn't feel worthy without trust. He needs you to believe in him, to find strength in him.
Persephone frowned. She knew Hades had a difficult time feeling worthy of his people's worship, but she never thought he would have the same difficulty feeling worthy of her love. What had happened to him over his many lifetimes? What happened to you? Persephone asked Apollo. No one does what you do without some sort of trauma. It took Apollo a long time to speak, but he finally answered.
He was a Spartan prince, Hyacinth. He was beautiful, admired and pursued by many gods, but he chose me.
He swallowed.
He chose me.
Apollo paused and then began again.
We hunted and climbed mountains. I taught him to use a bow and the lyre. One day I was teaching him quoit.
Quoit was one of the games played during the Panhellenic Games. It involved throwing a heavy metal disc.
Hyacinth liked to challenge me and wanted to compete. He knew I wouldn't deny him, or a chance to win. I threw first. I didn't think about the strength behind the toss. He went to catch the disc, but there was too much power behind my throw, and it bounced off the ground and hit him in the head.
Apollo's chest rose with a deep inhale.
I tried to save him. I'm the fucking god of healing. I should have been able to heal him, but each time my magic worked to close his wound, it opened again. I held him until he died.
His voice trembled now.
I hated Hades for a long time after that. I blamed him for what the fates had taken from me. I blamed him for refusing to let me see him. I did some unforgivable things in the aftermath of Hyacinth's death. It's why Hades hates me. And honestly, I don't blame him.
Apollo, Persephone whispered. Hesitantly, she placed a hand on his arm. I'm so sorry for your loss. He shrugged a shoulder.
It was a long time ago.
That doesn't make it any less painful. While this didn't excuse Apollo's actions, she understood him a little better. He'd been broken a long, long time ago, and since then he'd been searching for ways to feel whole.
Another round,
he called to the bartender, who was quick to comply. Apollo handed Persephone a shot.
Cheers, he said.
Things were a blur after the last shot. Persephone's head swam, her words slurred, and everything was funny. She danced with Apollo until her feet hurt, until the light stung her eyes, until sweat beaded off her skin. When the perspiration turned cold, she suddenly didn't feel well and stumbled off the floor, running into something hard.
Oh, hi, Hermes.
He frowned.
Are you okay?
She responded by vomiting on the floor. Her next lucid moment was when she found herself lying on the couch in Apollo's booth, a blurry Hades casting a shadow over her. He looked impassive, and that hurt more than she anticipated.
Why did you call him? She asked Hermes. He hates me.
Blame Sophie,
Hermes said. Hades knelt beside her.
Can you stand? I'd rather not carry you out of this place.
Another blow. She sat up. Hades tried to hand her water, but she pushed it away.
If you don't want to be seen with me, why don't you teleport?
If I teleport, you might throw up. I've been told you've already done that once tonight.
He didn't sound pleased. She got to her feet. It took a moment for the world to stop spinning, and she swayed into Hades, who was quick to embrace her.
The feel of him against her skin was like a sexual experience. It made her quake to her very core. It made her hot all over. It made her want to moan his name. She was being ridiculous. She pushed away from him. "Let's go." She led the way outside where Hades' black Lexus waited. Antony offered his crooked smile when he saw her.
"My lady."
"Antony," she said, and breezed past him, climbing into the back of Hades' car on her hands and knees. Hades followed close behind. She knew because she could smell him, spice and ash and sin. She'd never considered the smell of sin before, but now she knew it for what it was, sultry and sexual. It filled her lungs, ignited her blood. They sat in silence on the way home, the air thick with warring emotions. Persephone was busy building a wall against whatever Hades was feeling. It was dark. She could feel it twisting toward her, like the tendrils of his magic. She was so relieved when they arrived at Nevernight. She opened the door before Antony was out of his seat. But as she exited, she missed the curb and fell, her knee striking the concrete hard.
"My lady!"
Antony cried. He reached for her arm, but she pushed it away. "I'm fine." She rolled over and sat. Her knee was a mess, and pieces of dirt stuck to the blood. Hades stood beside Antony, and they stared down at her.
"It's okay. I don't even feel it."
She tried to stand, but her head was pretty fuzzy, and she was aware she was slurring some of her words. She hated that she was in this state. She blew out a long breath.
"You know, I think I'll just sit here for a little while."
Hades said nothing, but this time he scooped her up into his arms and carried her into Nevernight. When he sat her down, it was behind the bar. He didn't let her feet touch the ground long before he lifted on the edge of the tabletop. He turned and started to work.
"What are you doing?"
Hades handed her a glass of water.
"Drink."
She did. This time she was thirsty. While she drank, Hades shed his jacket and filled another glass of water. He cleaned her wounded knee, washing the dirt and blood away. After, he covered it with his hand, and his warmth healed.
"Thank you," she whispered.
Hades stepped back, leaning against the counter opposite her. She had to admit, she didn't like the distance. It was like he still had a hold of her heart and was stretching it as he moved.
"Are you punishing me?"
Hades asked. "What?"
"This,"
he said, pointing to her.
"The clothes, Apollo, the drinking."
She frowned and looked down at her dress.
"You don't like my clothes?"
He glared at her. And for some reason that made her angry. She pushed off the counter and shimmied the dress up over her hips.
"What are you doing?"
Hades asked. His eyes glinted, but she couldn't tell if he was amused or aroused.
"Taking off the dress."
"I can see that. Why?"
"Because you don't like it."
"I didn't say I didn't like it,"
he replied. Still, he didn't stop her. The dress was off. She stood naked in front of him. Hades' eyes raked her frame. Gods. Her whole body tingled, like her skin was a collection of exposed nerves. Her fingers itched to touch, to pleasure. Either herself or him, she really didn't care.
"Why weren't you wearing anything under that dress?"
"I couldn't," she said. "Didn't you see it?"
Hades' jaw ticked.
"I'm going to murder Apollo,"
he said, mostly under his breath.
"Why?"
"For fun."
His voice was gruff, and Persephone giggled.
"You're jealous."
"Don't push me, Persephone."
"It wasn't like Apollo knew," she said, watching Hades drink straight from a whiskey bottle he'd retrieved from the wall. "Hermes was the one who suggested it."
The bottle shattered. One moment it was whole in Hades' hands, and the next moment glass and alcohol covered the floor at Hades' feet.
"Motherfucker."
Persephone wasn't sure if the curse was from what she'd said about Hermes or the whiskey he'd just wasted.
"Are you okay?" she asked quietly.
"Forgive me if I am a little on edge. I have been forced into celibacy."
Persephone rolled her eyes. "No one ever said you couldn't fuck me."
"Careful, goddess."
His voice rumbled, deep and terrifying. It was the voice he used when he punished.
"You don't know what you're asking."
"I think I know what I'm asking for, Hades. It's not like we've never had sex."
He didn't move, but he tilted his head a little, and her body tightened, knowing whatever he was about to ask would make her body quiver.
"Are you wet for me?"
She was. He knew it, and his restraint was pissing her off. She tilted her head and challenged,
"Why don't you come and find out?"
She waited, and Hades' chest rose and fell quickly, his knuckles turning white as he grasped the counter behind him. When he didn't move, she decided she'd just bring up Apollo. It was what he deserved.
"Why didn't you let Apollo see Hyacinth after his death?"
"You really know how to kill a boner, darling. I'll give you that."
The god turned back to the array of liquor and found another bottle. Persephone crossed her arms over her chest, the buzz from the alcohol wearing off. She suddenly no longer felt like being naked. She reached for Hades' jacket. As she slipped it on, it swallowed her.
"He said he blamed you for his death."
"He did."
Hades' response was short.
"Much like you blamed me for Lexa's accident."
"I never said I blamed you," she argued.
"You blamed me because I couldn't help. Apollo did the same."
Persephone pressed her lips together and took a breath.
"I'm not trying to fight with you. I just want to know your side."
Hades considered this as he took a drink from the bottle he'd taken from the shelf. She couldn't tell what it was, but it wasn't whiskey. Finally, he spoke.
"Apollo didn't ask to see his lover. He asked to die."
Persephone's eyes widened. That's not what she expected Hades to say.
"Of course it was a request I could not, would not, grant."
"I don't understand. Apollo knows he cannot die. He is immortal. Even if you were to wound him..."
"He wished to be thrown into Tartarus, to be torn to pieces by the Titans. It is the only way to kill a god."
Persephone shivered.
"He was outraged, of course, and took his revenge in the only way he knows how. He slept with Laoce."
Things were falling into place. "Why didn't you tell me?" Persephone demanded.
"I tend to want to forget that part of my life, Persephone."
"But I wouldn't have..."
"You already broke a promise you made. I doubt my story of betrayal would have prevented you from seeking Apollo's help."
She didn't know what to say to that. His words were harsh, but warranted. She flinched and hugged herself a little tighter. She wasn't sure if Hades noticed her reaction or decided he was finished with this conversation, but he pushed away from the bar and said,
"You are probably tired. I can take you to the underworld, or Antony will see you home."
She studied him for a long moment and then asked, "What do you want?" What she was really asking was, "Do you want me?"
"It is not my decision to make."
She looked away, swallowing a lump in her throat, but Hades' voice drew her back.
"But since you asked, I always want you with me, even when I'm angry."
"Then I'll come with you." He drew her close, his arm a hook around her waist. She braced herself against his biceps as their middles touched and their eyes held. She wanted to kiss him. It wouldn't take much. They were already so close. But she was hesitant. She had vomited earlier and still felt disgusting. On top of that, Hades didn't move closer, and the pain that pulled at his features kept her frozen and hardened her own heart. She still had a whole night to go sleeping beside him.
This was going to be rough.
Chapter 23, The Solstice Celebration. Persephone woke up alone. She ignored the way her chest tightened as she rose to get ready. Once she was dressed, she found Hecate in the palace ballroom, instructing souls, nymphs, and daemons in their tasks as they prepared for the solstice celebration tonight. When Persephone arrived, Hecate smiled, and several voices erupted all at once.
"My lady, you've arrived."
There was so much excitement and energy in the room, Persephone couldn't stay sullen. "I hope you haven't waited long," she said.
"I was just finishing assigning tasks," Hecate said.
"Great. What can I do?" Persephone saw the hesitation on Hecate's face.
"Of course you should supervise."
Persephone frowned. "I'd like to help," she said, and looked at the people gathered in the room. "Surely some of you could use an extra set of hands." At first, she was met with silence, and then Yuri spoke up. "Of course, my lady. We'd be happy to have your assistance with the flower arrangements." Persephone grinned. "Thank you, Yuri. I would like that very much." Not to mention, she needed a distraction. Anything to keep her mind off the last few weeks.
"Let's get to work," Hecate called, and the crowd dispersed.
Persephone worked with a group in the ballroom making floral arrangements, garlands, and floral crowns from flowers the souls had picked from the gardens of the underworld.
"You are quieter than usual," Hecate said, coming to work beside Persephone.
She trimmed leaves from stems while Persephone arranged them in a large urn. "Am I?" She'd been so engrossed in her work, she hadn't paid much attention to what was going on around her.
"Not just today," she said. "You haven't been to the underworld for days."
Persephone froze for a moment, and then continued with her project. She didn't know what to say. Was she supposed to apologize? Her eyes blurred with tears. And before she knew it, Hecate was leading her out of the ballroom, down the hall, and into Hades' library.
"What's wrong, my dear?"
Hecate asked, guiding Persephone to sit and kneeling before her. "I messed up terribly."
"I'm sure it is nothing that can't be fixed."
"I'm sure it cannot," Persephone said. "I've made so many mistakes, Hecate. I have destroyed my best friend's life, bargained with a terrible god, and sacrificed my relationship with Hades."
"That is a lot."
Hecate's words made Persephone feel even more miserable.
"But I think it is not true."
"Of course it's true." She stared at Hecate, confused by the goddess.
"Did you strike Lexa with a car?" Hecate asked.
Persephone shook her head.
"You did not ruin your best friend's life," she said. "The mortal driving that car did."
"But she's not the same."
"She's not the same. Even if she had recovered on her own without Apollo's magic, she wouldn't have been the same. You have bargained with a god, yes? Terrible?"
Hecate shrugged.
"If anyone can help Apollo become more compassionate, it's you, Persephone."
She wasn't sure about that, but after learning about Apollo's past, she knew she wanted to do something for him. Maybe if she showed him kindness, he would learn kindness toward others. "Compassion or not, it doesn't change how Hades thinks of me now. He does not trust me. Nor does he think I trust him."
"Hades trusts you," she said. "He gave you his heart."
"I am sure he regrets that decision."
"You cannot be sure of anything unless you ask, Persephone. It is more unfair to assume you know Hades' feelings."
Persephone considered this. She'd wanted to ask him a lot of things yesterday, but fear and embarrassment kept her from it.
"And I have a feeling our dark ruler hasn't been all that fair to you."
Persephone wasn't sure if fair was the right word. "He has been honest about how angry he is with me."
which is probably why you want to avoid him. I would. No one likes Hades when he's angry.
Persephone laughed a little.
My point is, you both have a lot to learn from this. If you want this relationship to work, you must be honest. It doesn't matter if your words sting. They're important.
She had a lot of words.
Do not worry, my dear.
Hecate rose to her feet, bringing Persephone with her.
All will be well.
Before they left the library, Persephone paused. Hecate, do you know how to find a soul in the underworld? She smiled.
No, but I know who does.
Persephone and Hecate returned to the ballroom and finished up their floral arrangements. After, they made their way to the kitchens, where Milan, a daemon, and a staff of several souls who had been chefs in previous lives worked on the solstice feast. Milan insisted they try an assortment of jams, preserves, grapes, figs, pomegranates, blackberries, pears, and dates. There were cured meats and various cheeses, crackers, and fresh herbs.
My Lady Persephone, do you happen to have the recipe for that sweetbread you made?
Milan asked. It took her a moment to understand what Milan was asking about.
Oh, you mean the cake?
Whatever it was delicious, Hecate said, and almost started a war.
Persephone laughed. She'd baked the cake, left it to cool overnight, and had completely forgotten about it.
It's very easy, Milan. I'll teach you.
The daemon grinned, and Persephone spent the rest of the afternoon baking in the kitchen until Hecate pulled her away to get ready for the festivities. They hung out in Hades' bedchamber. Hecate's nymphs, Lampades, worked Persephone's hair into smooth curls, then braided pieces, sculpting part of it into a half-up style. Her makeup was darker than usual. A shimmering black shadow and thick liner made her eyes appear wider and more open. The color also brightened her irises. A burgundy lip completed the look. As she watched herself transform in the mirror, she was reminded of the evenings she and Lexa would spend getting ready for events. Persephone hadn't grown up around mortals, so when she'd come to New Athens University, she had no experience with makeup or fashion. Lexa had shown her the ropes, and she'd been amazing at it. Is amazing at it, Persephone corrected herself. Lexa was alive. Except that Persephone almost felt as though Lexa might as well be gone. The person sitting in that hospital room looked like her best friend, but didn't act like her. Persephone's eyes watered, and she took a breath, looking toward the ceiling. The Lampades sensed her distress and patted her face and hair. I'm all right, she whispered, just thinking about something sad.
Perhaps this will take your mind off it, Hecate said, entering Hades' chamber.
Persephone turned in her seat as the goddess of witchcraft approached with a long white box. Inside was a beautiful gown. It was black with gold accents. The sleeves were off the shoulder, long but split, giving the illusion of a cape.
Oh, Hecate, it's beautiful, Persephone said, twisting in front of the mirror after she'd put it on.
The dress wasn't the only surprise Hecate had for her. She stood behind Persephone and moved as if she were placing something on her head. As she did, a crown appeared between her hands. It was iron and jagged, and it gleamed with shining obsidian, black pearls, and diamonds. Upon her head, it resembled a dark halo, ignited against her bright hair.
You look beautiful, Hecate said.
Thank you, Persephone breathed.
She didn't recognize herself in the mirror, and she wasn't sure what was different. The crown, the dress, the makeup, or something else. A lot of things had happened in the last month, and she felt the weight of it on her shoulders, on her chest, settling at the bottom of her stomach.
Has Hades arrived?
I am sure he will come later,
Hecate said. Persephone met her friend's gaze in the mirror. She wanted Hades. They didn't even need to talk. She just wanted his presence for comfort.
Come, the souls have a surprise for you.
Hecate reached for Persephone's hand, and they left Hades' chamber. The Lampades followed, zipping away to take their place outside. The palace was decorated throughout. The bouquets of flowers Persephone and the others had worked on brought life to the shadow. Banquet tables were crowded with food and candlelight. The smells were mouth-watering. The French doors in the ballroom were open and led to the courtyard, where a fire blazed, and the souls had erected a maypole. As Persephone stepped outside, the souls and daemons and nymphs cheered. Yuri ran forward, taking Persephone's hands. Persephone, come, the children have a surprise for you. Yuri led her away from the stone courtyard to the springy grass where the Lampades had gathered in a circle. Souls followed behind them. She was surprised when Yuri directed her to a throne that sat at the top of the circle. Unlike Hades, it was a chair made of gold. The metal had been shaped into flowers, and the cushions were white. Yuri, I am not... You might not be queen by title, but the souls call you their queen. That does not mean I should wear a crown or sit upon a throne in the underworld. Do this for them, Persephone, Yuri pleaded. It is part of the surprise. Okay, Persephone said, nodding. For the souls. She took a seat, and Yuri clapped her excitement. After a moment, children from the underworld appeared from the darkness, wandering into the circle of light dressed in colorful clothing. They began their performance by stomping their feet and clapping their hands in unison. The effect was musical, increasing in tempo the longer they went. Soon, their voices joined the clapping and stomping, and they began to move about, creating different lines and shapes with their bodies. By the end of the performance, Persephone was clapping along and smiling so wide her face hurt. The children grinned, bowing to the applause. Then a flute began to play, and the children started to sing, their voices rising and falling in a haunting melody. The song they sang was the tale of the Lethe, the river of forgetfulness, and told of a woman who drank from its waters and forgot the love of her life. When the song ended, a hard knot settled at the back of Persephone's throat. She stood as she clapped, and the children ran to her, hugging her legs. Thank you, she told them. You were all so wonderful. After the children's performance, the real festival began, and the residents dispersed. Some danced and played instruments, while others played games, races, disc tosses, and jumping competitions. A group headed inside the ballroom to eat, and the children gathered around the maypole. Persephone! Laoce approached, throwing her arms around the goddess's neck, a glass of wine in hand. Laoce, I'm so glad you could make it! The nymph drew back. Thank you for inviting me. This is truly amazing. I've never seen the underworld so vibrant. Drink, she said, handing Persephone the wine she held. The wine tastes like strawberries in summer. Laoce twirled away, disappearing into the crowd of souls.
Well, don't you look like the queen of the underworld? Hermes said, appearing out of thin air.
Persephone smiled at the god of trickery. He was dressed like an ancient god, gold armor and a leather skirt. His sandals wrapped around his strong calves, a circlet of laurel leaves crowned his head, and his white feathered wings draped his body like a lush cloak.
Hermes! She threw her arms around him. I'm so glad you're here.
Wouldn't miss it for the world, Cephi, he said,
and then winked, holding up a bottle of wine he'd swiped from the ballroom.
The wine helps. Where's your brooding lover? He wasn't too angry with you, I hope.
At the mention of Hades, Persephone was reminded that the god of the underworld still hadn't made an appearance. She frowned. I'm not sure where he is. He left before I woke.
Uh-oh, don't
Don't tell me, Seffy. No makeup sex?
When did talking about sex become a regular conversation between her and Hermes?
No. I'm sorry, Seffy, Hermes said, and then poured more wine into her cup. Drink up, gorgeous. You're going to need it.
But Persephone didn't feel like drinking, and soon Hermes was distracted.
Nemesis!
Hermes yelled when he glimpsed the goddess of divine retribution and revenge.
I have a bone to pick with you!
Persephone tried not to laugh. Hearing Hermes use mortal idioms was hilarious. She started to turn when she noticed Apollo. He must have just arrived, as she was certain she would have sensed his menacing presence before now. He felt like static in the air. He wore red robes, and they were secured by embellished gold leaves. She'd never seen his horns before, but tonight they were on full display. In total, he had four, a set of two curling on each side of his face. They almost made it look like a helm worn during battle. She smiled at him and approached.
Last time I checked, I was the one who was supposed to do the summoning, he said.
I didn't summon you, Persephone said. I invited you. You didn't have to come. Apollo's jaw tensed. But I'm glad you did, she added, and the god's brows rose. Come, I'd like you to meet someone. She led Apollo outside where the maypole was raised, and the dead danced. It took her a moment, but she finally found him standing with a crowd of souls. Hyacinth, the young man Apollo loved. He was well-muscled and beautiful, with a swath of golden hair. When he smiled, his teeth gleamed. When he laughed, it was like music. She knew when Apollo saw him, because Apollo stiffened beside her. Go to him, Apollo, she said. He hesitated and paled.
Does he remember?
He still loves you, she said. And he has forgiven you. She was surprised when Apollo looked at her with a severe expression on his face.
Why?
He demanded. She blinked. What?
Why would you do this for me?
He asked.
I've been so unkind to you.
Everyone deserves kindness, Apollo. Especially those who hurt others, she thought, but didn't say. Go, she encouraged. You don't have much time, and you must make the most of it. Still, he stared at her, as if he couldn't figure her out. After a moment, he turned and took a deep breath, set his shoulders, and strolled toward Hyacinth. The young soul did a double take, and his expression melted into shock when he spotted the god of music approaching. He put his drink down and threw his arms around Apollo's neck, drawing him close. When their lips met, Persephone felt a pang in her chest, a reminder of how much she missed Hades. She shook her head and wandered from the courtyard into the gardens. She hoped to spend a few minutes alone, but stumbled upon a shadowy figure startling her. Thanatos, she breathed, her heart calming. You startled me.
I am sorry. That was not my intention.
She frowned. She hadn't seen the god of death since she'd yelled at him in the hospital. She could feel a difference in the air between them. Once friendly, it was now tender. What are you doing out here?
Enjoying the revelry, he answered.
He wasn't looking at her as he spoke, his eyes on the maypole ahead, illuminated by the nymph's light. Why don't you join them? She asked. Thanatos' smile was sad.
I am not made for merriment, my lady.
She frowned. Please call me Persephone, Thanatos. He bowed his head.
Right. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry, she said. There is no excuse for how I treated you. I can scarcely believe it myself.
It's okay, Persephone. I'm used to it.
She winced. It pains me to know that. I wish it weren't so. You deserve better, especially from a friend. Thanatos met her gaze, smiling.
Thank you, Persephone.
They stood together for a while, watching the residents of the underworld celebrate. At some point, Persephone re-entered the palace. She roamed from room to room looking for Hades. The more time that passed without his presence, the more frustrated she became. How could he not come to a celebration in his own realm? Not only was it important to his people, it was important to her. She'd helped plan it, and he knew it was happening tonight. What was keeping him? The party neared its end with no sign of Hades. Unable to rest, she waited up for him. And waited. And waited. It was close to 5 in the morning before he returned. His presence was familiar, and unlike previous times when he had inspired need within her, she felt cold. When Hades entered the room, she turned to face him. His dark gaze assessed her from head to toe. She hadn't removed the crown Ian had made for her, or the dress Hecate had crafted. Hades did not comment on her ensemble. Instead, he said,
"I did not think you would be awake."
"Where were you?"
"I had a few things to take care of."
Persephone's fingers fisted. "Were these things more important than your realm?" Hades' brows lowered.
"You are angry that I was not at your party."
So he hadn't forgotten. "Yes, I am angry. You should have been there."
"The dead celebrate everything, Persephone. I won't miss the next one."
"If that is your view, I'd rather you not come at all." Hades seemed surprised by her comment.
"Then what do you want from me?"
"I don't fucking care how much they celebrate. What's important to them should be important to you. What's important to me should be important to you."
"Persephone..."
"Don't," she cut him off. "I understand you don't know what I don't tell you, but I expect you to be aware of what I am planning and show interest, not only for me, but for your people. You never once asked about the solstice celebration, not even after I asked you for permission to host it in the courtyard."
"I'm sorry."
"You aren't," she snapped. "You were only saying that to appease me, and I hate it. Is this why you want a queen? So you don't have to attend these events?"
"No. I wanted you," he said. "And because of that, I wished to make you my queen. There are no ulterior motives."
But she hadn't missed that everything he'd just said was in the past. She narrowed her eyes. "Look, Hades, if you don't want this anymore, I need to know." Hades' head jerked, and he stared at her.
"What?"
Obviously, she wasn't making sense. "If you don't want me, if you don't think you can forgive me, I don't think we should be in a relationship. The fates be damned." It was the first time Hades moved since he'd entered the room. He took deliberate strides toward her and spoke as he moved.
"I never said I didn't want you. I thought I made that clear yesterday."
She rolled her eyes. "So you want to fuck me? That doesn't mean you want an actual relationship. It doesn't mean you will trust me again." Hades stopped inches from her and narrowed his eyes.
"Let me be perfectly clear. I do want to fuck you. More importantly, I love you. Deeply. Endlessly. If you walked away from me today, I would love you still. I will love you forever. That's what fate is, Persephone. Fuck threads and colors. And fuck your uncertainty."
His head bent closer to her as he spoke, his face inches from hers. "I'm not uncertain," she said. "I'm afraid, you idiot."
"Of what? What have I done?"
"This isn't about you. Gods, Hades, you'd think you of all people would understand." She turned her head away, unable to look at him. After a moment, Hades spoke again, urging,
"Tell me."
Persephone's mouth quivered. "I've longed for love all my life," she said. "Longed for acceptance because my mother dangled it in front of me like something I had to earn. If I adhered to her expectations, she would grant it. If I didn't, she'd take it away.
You want a queen, a goddess, a lover. I can't be what you want. I can't adhere to these expectations you have of me.
There was something freeing about saying all of that out loud. She suddenly felt lighter, like she'd let go of a boulder she'd been carrying on her back.
Persephone.
Hades' fingers pressed beneath her chin. She met his gaze.
What do you think of when you think of a queen?
Persephone's brows knitted together, and she shook her head as she admitted, I don't know. I know what I would like to see in a queen.
Then what would you like to see in a queen?
Someone who is kind, compassionate, present. Hades' thumb brushed her lips.
And you do not think you are all those things?
She didn't answer, and Hades said,
I'm not asking you to be a queen. I'm asking you to be yourself. I'm asking you to marry me. The title comes with our marriage. It changes nothing.
Persephone swallowed. Are you asking me to marry you again?
Will you?
Her breath caught in her throat. She couldn't answer. For the last few weeks, she and Hades hadn't exactly been on speaking terms. They had too much to reconcile. Her eyes watered, and tears streaked her face. Hades brushed them away.
My darling, you do not have to answer now. We have time. An eternity.
Their lips met, their kiss sinful and rough and desperate. Persephone felt feverish and frenzied. The adrenaline made her bold, and she reached into his pants, working his cock with her hand. Hades groaned, his teeth skimming her bottom lip, as he pulled away to explore her jaw and neck and breasts. He looked stunned when she pushed him away. They stood apart for a moment, breathing hard, hot and wet and wild. Then Persephone planted a hand on his chest and directed him backward until the back of his knees hit the bed. Sit, she commanded. He did, and she held his gaze as she knelt before him. His eyes glittered like obsidian.
You look like a fucking queen, he said.
A corner of her mouth lifted. I am your queen. She wrapped her hand around his length and stroked him from root to tip, her thumb moving lightly over the head of his cock.
Persephone.
He growled her name, and she took him into her mouth. Hades moaned, his fingers twining into her hair. She took him deep, to the back of her throat, and then into the side of her cheek. She paused to lick and suck, reveling in the taste of him.
Yes, he hissed.
She could feel him growing thicker, pulsing. And when he came, she drank from him like she had never tasted anything so sweet. Hades drew her to her feet. He kissed her, possessed and paralyzed her. He left her dress in a puddle on the floor and guided her to his bed, divesting himself of his own clothes before covering her body. He was warm and solid, and he fit against her like he was made for every contour of her. As he loomed over her, she reached up and drew a piece of his silken hair around her finger. Why do you wish to be married? Hades' brow rose. Clearly the question amused him.
Haven't you always dreamed of marriage?
No, she said, and she was being honest. She had never really considered marrying someone as a possibility before. Her mother made sure she never met anyone for the first 18 years of her life, and once she was free, she was so focused on college and landing a job, she hadn't thought much about relationships. You didn't answer my question. Why is marriage important to you?
I don't know, he answered truthfully. It became important to me when I met you.
Persephone held his gaze and drew her legs apart, wrapping them around his waist. She could feel the head of his cock pressing against her entrance. Hades sank into her with a groan. She gasped, gripping his arms. There was something sweet about the beginning. Hades bent to kiss her, letting his forehead rest against hers, and breathed her breath. Then everything changed. Hades' thrusts became urgent, and his head fell into the crook of her neck, his teeth grazing and biting her skin.
"So fucking sweet," Hades hissed, looking into her eyes. "Take me deeper, darling."
She wasn't sure it was possible. She could already feel him in the bottom of her stomach. Hades' arms looped under her knees, and he lifted her slightly. Pleasure ripped through her, and she dragged her nails along his skin. "Harder," she commanded. He drove into her, pumping his hips. She clenched around him, her orgasm building inside, clawing its way to the surface.